Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, August 21st edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Got a great show for you today. Got two wonderful guests coming up. Before I get into that, though, I want to announce for all future guests or for all future shows, folks, you can go into my website, theamericanawakening.org, and you can look right on the schedule and see who the guests are. So you can call your friends, neighbors, and relatives if there's a topic that you really think that you might get some knowledge out of, awakened, if you will, or enlightened, if you will. Second hour today, Freedom to Fascism. You can go on my website into videos of interest, click on it, watch it live. And speaking of Freedom to Fascism, second hour today, I have one of the actresses in Freedom to Fascism, none other than former IRS agent Sherry Jackson. She will be up second hour. First hour today, I have Dr. Kathy Burns, who will be up talking about the Eastern Star and Masonry. And since both of my parents were in the Eastern Star the whole time I was growing up, I thought I'd get her on and talk a little bit about this. I want to tell you, tomorrow I have Deanne Burley coming up. She's going to be talking about her friend Sherman Skolnick and some thoughts about 9/11. Don Nikoloff on Wednesday, or excuse me, that would be Don Nikoloff on Thursday. Let's see, what is today? Tuesday. Yeah, Don Nikoloff on Thursday with an update on Watergate. Second hour is going to be Mark Lerner talking about the Real ID Act. And Friday we're going to have none other than Jim Fetzer up talking about alternative 9/11 theory. So we got a really, really big week in store here. But at any rate, I want to go into a little bit about Dr. Kathy Burns because she'll be up in just a few minutes. Dr. Burns has a degree in Bible philosophy and has spent the last 20 years doing extensive research on the New Age movement and related subjects. She has written many articles, tracts, and booklets on various topics, including 10, get this folks, 10 other books. Hidden Secrets of Masonry, One World Order is Coming, Billy Graham and His Friends, that ought to be a good one. Mormonism, there's another good one. Masonry and Godhood, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, Tongues, Prosperity and Godhood, Secure in Christ, Pathway to Peace, A Scriptural View of Hell, and Alcoholics Anonymous Unmasked. Well, I tell you, boy, that's quite impressive. Her name is listed in the Who's Who in Religion, Who's Who in World of Women, Who's Who in the East, Who's Who in America, Dictionary of International Biography, 2,000 Outstanding Intellectuals of the 20th Century, 500 Notable Women, International Who's Who of Professional and Business Women, 2,000 Notable American Women, Outstanding People of the 20th Century, etc., and it goes on and on and on. So it should be very interesting to get inside her head a little bit and find out what's going on in the Eastern Star. I can't wait for this show, folks, because as I said, both of my parents were Eastern Star members all throughout my childhood. And I've got some pictures here sitting in front of me that my mother had in some of her belongings after she passed away, and I can't wait to ask Dr. Burns about some of these. So it's going to be a really good show. And remember, second hour, Sherry Jackson's coming up. She's going to be talking about her case a little bit. And also, Art Pollack has, I guess he's designed some sort of a fundraiser. He's going to come on and talk about that a little bit. So it's going to be a really, really great show. Got a lot to talk about today. And if I'm talking fast, it's because I've got a lot to cover. Happy to be back with you. The book I'm going to talk about today with Dr. Kathy Burns is The Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. And what I'm going to do, I think, is I'm going to put a link up, if she has a website, on my own website. So you can get in there and purchase any of her books if you like. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have this woman up more than once, several times, because I want to talk about the Mormonism book. I want to talk about Billy Graham and His Friends. This should be some really interesting topics for future shows. Again, theamericanawakening.org is my website. I'll be back in 3 with Dr. Kathy Burns. Stick with me.
Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com, or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com, or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Back. Michael Herzog, your American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And as I said, my first guest coming up, and I just finished reading quite an impressive bio on this lady, Dr. Kathy Burns, who has written 11 books. The one I'm going to talk about today is Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. And I wanted to get into this because the whole time I was growing up, as I mentioned earlier, my parents were in the Eastern Star. And I really never knew what was going on in the Eastern Star. I just know that they would go to meetings, once, twice a month, something like that. And I have a number of pictures that were in my mother's belongings after she passed away that I just happened to get out and look at not long ago. And there's some interesting anomalies in these pictures that I wanted to talk to Dr. Burns about. So without any further ado, let's bring up Dr. Kathy Burns. Are you with me, Kathy?
I'm here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. Listen, I perused through this book, interesting book, Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. And now, the Eastern Star, correct me if I'm wrong, is a Masonic order, yes?
Yes, it is, because you cannot have an Eastern Star meeting unless Masons are present.
Now, tell me, as I mentioned to you off the air, and as I just mentioned to my listeners, the whole time that my sister and I were growing up, my parents belonged to the Eastern Star, and they never said anything about it. They never, talked about it openly, about what they did. The only thing that we knew, you know, being children, is that they would go to meetings, I don't know, once a month, sometimes twice a month, and they were always affiliated with these people. So I ran across some pictures in my mother's belongings, of which I never saw while she was alive. Okay, but I ran across this, you know, I think it was in the back of a suitcase in an envelope. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, let me go into your book. Is it true? And it must be because it's in your book. I was never aware of this. But in the Eastern Star Lodge, when they initiate a person, that they take a blood oath?
Well, not in the Eastern Star. Now, there are oaths that must be taken, however, before a Mason can join the Eastern Star. And this is the thing. For instance, you must have a Mason in there. This is why it's Masonic order. And most people think, oh, Eastern Star is just for the women. Well, yes, it is. But see, there are requirements. And before a woman can become an Eastern Star member, she must have a relative who is a Mason. It would be a brother, a father, a husband, or a son. And she cannot become a member unless one of her relatives, or male relatives, would be a Mason. And before he can become an Eastern Star member, he must take the blood oath. So, the first degree already, he says this: binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and my body buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly violate this, my entered apprentice obligation. First degree. Second degree, he says this: binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my breast torn open, my heart plucked out, and placed on the highest pinnacle of the temple, there to be devoured by the vultures of the air, should I ever knowingly violate the fellow craft obligation. And for the third degree, he says this: binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my body severed in two, my bowels taken from thence and burned to ashes, the ashes scattered before the four winds of heaven, that no more remembrance might be had of so vile and wicked a wretch as I would be, should I ever knowingly violate this, my master Mason's obligation. So although the woman herself does not take any blood oath, she cannot become a member unless one of her male relatives has taken these blood oaths.
Is she aware of the blood oath?
No. And see, they're not even allowed to talk about this. These are the secrets.
I see. Now, let me ask you this question, because I know my mother and father were both members. Does that mean that... And I want to apologize to the audience firsthand, because this is a personal thing to me. And for all of the listening audience out there who may have gone through this same thing or know somebody that is or was in it, then you can relate to this. But does that mean that my father was a Mason, or she can bring my father in simply because one of her relative's sisters or whatever invited her in?
Your father would have had to have been a Mason, because it has to be at least a third degree Mason before he could join. Now, it could have been her father who got her involved, or her brother. It would not necessarily have to be your father that she came in under. But if he belonged to the Eastern Star organization as well, he would have had to have been at least a third degree Mason.
Okay, and this is where I have a bit of a problem, is that my father, the only reason that the only reason that he put forth to us, my sister and I, that he even went was because of my mother, because according to him, he didn't even like it. So he wasn't an outgoing sort of guy, if you will. But you're saying that he had to be at least a third-degree Mason to be in there.
He had to be, yes.
He had to be, okay.
Yes. A lot of Masons never even joined the Eastern Star. So he may not have enjoyed the ladies' part so much. You know, he may have gone to his own lodge or whatever. So, you know, he may have just done it for your benefit of your mother, or to be out a night with her or whatever. He may not have truly, you know, enjoyed the Eastern Star, but he would have still been a Mason.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then, I have a number of pictures here that I want to describe to you and see what your take is on this. One of interest is there's a picture with 11 women sitting on a seat. They're all dressed up formally, actually. And then there's three men behind them. One is my father. One is was supposed to be my father's best friend, who, by the way, ran off with my mother when his mother died, or when his wife died. But at any rate, they're all wearing it's a little bunny rabbit. Some of them have one bunny rabbit on their chest. Some of them have two. One of the men in the background has four. Does this signify their degree of masonry?
I have no idea. I've never seen a rabbit with masonry before. I'd have no idea unless that was maybe their own particular lodge had that. That I wouldn't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, and then the next picture I have is 6 women out on the dance floor, and they're literally dancing in bunny costumes. So I thought that was rather weird.
Typically, the bunny is a sexual connotation, you know, like with the Playboy. And I'm just wondering, because a lot of the symbols, again, most Masons and Eastern Star women have no idea, but the sexual ritual is very prevalent in the symbolism of the Eastern Star and Masonry. They do not know that those symbols represent that in most cases. And I want to say this, too. There's a lot of good individuals in the Eastern Star. I've had relatives of my own in there, and, I mean, they're good, living, moral, decent people. They have no idea what they're partaking of in most cases. Some do, yes. But on a whole, these people, you know, they're just your friends and family members who are nice people on a whole.
And so, you know, it boils down to the same thing. The underlings really in Masonry are compartmentalized. They really don't know what they are affiliated with, number one. And number two, I think my consensus of this, Kathy, and correct me if I'm wrong, is they're kind of watched as they come up through the ranks, if you will. And maybe depending upon the character that is, you know, psychologically analyzed by their superiors, then they may be approached, you know, for higher levels of Masonry. Would I be off base there?
Yes and no. They are watched. They can join on their own. They can go up to the 32nd degree without, you know, really having any merit of whatsoever. You take each of the first 3 degrees individually, usually about a month or so apart. After that, it used to not be like this. In other countries, it's still different. But more recently, especially here in America, they've been going from the 4th to the 14th degree in one weekend. So they obviously don't even know what they're partaking of. And then they can go from the 15th to the 32nd in another weekend. And some Masons who, you know, came up the harder way are looking and said, oh, that's Mech Masonry, you know, have it your way and make it real quick. You know, we're just doing it fast food style. They're not even really realizing what they're partaking of. So, but now as you get higher, now for the 32nd degree, then there is an honorary 33rd. That would definitely be on merit, and you cannot ask to join that. You are watched, you're scrutinized, and then, of course, as Masons do progress, and if they get the 33rd or whatever, they are being watched. If they show the qualities that they're looking for, they're advanced. It may not be, a 34th degree, but they're put in positions of leadership or rule or power or whatever. But, yes, they're watched. So, yes and no. You know, you can go up to the 32nd without any merit. But after that, you are definitely watched for.
And I would assume one of the major qualifications that allows you to elevate or to be elevated up into these upper levels is knowing how to keep your mouth shut.
Secrecy is important.
Right. Okay. As a matter of fact, I just got a quick instant message from my board operator that says he saw an episode of South Park about the secret society and the bunny. So I don't know. Maybe there's some indirect correlation with this. But moving on from the bunny. Now, I have another picture here that shows my mother, father, and another woman that are, well, they have, I guess, what it's chocolate pudding all over their face, okay? And then there's another picture that depicts them blindfolded feeding each other with this chocolate pudding. Is this just more or less a game that they make up games when they go to these meetings or what?
Well, in the Masons, there's what they call the fun degree, basically, which would be the you have to be a 32nd degree Mason to become a Shriner. Now, that has changed recently. You no longer have to be that. But typically that was, you know, where they drive these little kitty cars and have fun and parties and games, you know. And that's probably what is being partaken of right now with your parents there, you know, with all this. It probably is more fun and games of sorts. And this is what keeps their interest sometimes. You think you're having some fun. I do know, though, in some of the degrees in Masonry, they sort of like rough you up, and you know it causes a fear tactic sometimes because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here for 3 minutes. Hang with me, Dr. Burns, because I have some more questions. It might be a little bit about a control issue. I'll get into that in a minute. We'll be right back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Kathy Burns. Stick with us.
Oh, Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you... Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making...
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Michael Hizog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Dr. Kathy Burns. We're talking about a book that she has out called Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. This is a short segment coming up, and then after that comes a long segment. But I want to ask you, Kathy, before I go further into this, do you have a website that you promote this book? Is it on Amazon? How do we get a hold of it?
You could call 1-800-451-8211, and they could take your order there. It'd be Cutting Edge Ministries. It's not my ministry, but they have the book. Or
okay,
Amazon would sell it. Okay,
all right, and also, yeah, and also the rest of these books, and I had read all of these off before you came on. They can also attain those through that same number.
He has 11 of my books, so almost
okay.
Anyone they'd want would be available. It's 1-800-451-8211.
I tell you, when I read these off, and I wasn't aware of this. Okay, I would love to have you up at on a future date to talk about the Billy Graham book and also the Mormonism book, because those touch me as well. Now, getting back to what I was speaking of before, I have another picture here of my mother along with another gentleman that are dressing up. My mother's dressing up as a man, and the man is dressing up as a woman. Okay, and I'm wondering here, and I wanted to get your take on this, because I remember one night my mother and father coming home from an Eastern Star meeting, and my father was very upset, and he was arguing with my mother about something related to them dressing or doing something. So maybe this is it. But is this something that they do maybe in the form of, you know, their outlined events at a function to find out if people are willing to do this as a control mechanism or to see what they can get them to do?
I have no idea. Again, this is something I've never encountered. I mean, I know more or less sort of what they say, what they do, what the symbols represent. I really don't know the actual inner workings of the Eastern Star as far as what goes on, like for their parties or, you know, what they do on the side like this. However, I've never come across this in the Eastern Star before with the more or less what you'd call transvestite. But what would happen is in the pagan mysteries, and this is where the Eastern Star does, you know, all their rituals and all are basically based on the pagan mysteries. And there they would actually offer sacrifices and all to the gods in the disguise of, if it was a man, he'd be in woman's clothing. If it was a woman, she'd be in men's clothing. They had to do this to offer their pagan sacrifices. They would, you know, change their costume, basically, or their dress for worship. So this, again, I can't say for sure, but this may be part of what's there. Now, they're probably doing it in fun. They probably don't realize what they're doing it for. But
right.
This would probably be what it would be signifying, because when they would offer in the pagan mysteries, they would have to dress as the other sex.
So it could be, I mean, you know, my parents, obviously, I don't want to think of my parents as doing rituals or whatever, but it could be, and I'm just speculating here, it could be a form of preconditioning, if you will, to first of all find out if they would do it. And then as time goes on and you know, my father moved up into the ranks of Masonry or whatever, then enlighten him to that. Would I be close in that assumption?
That could be a possibility. And again, see, when these Masons join, most of them are businessmen. And they usually join for the matter of you get more business. They don't realize, and they partake of these rituals not realizing what they really signify. They think this is just part of moving up the ladder or getting more business or being accepted in the community or, well, hey, I mean, the minister of the town belongs there and the bank president belongs to the Masons, the lawyer belongs. You know, why shouldn't I be among their company? So they're willing to do a lot of things without even realizing, you know, like you say, you don't want to cast an evil, you know, aspect on your parents, and you shouldn't, because they were probably doing it, one, out of fun, or just part of to continue to remain in the movement without really, you know, they didn't know, I'm sure they didn't know whether they were doing. Mm-hmm. Unless you'd really be steeped in the occult background, most people would never even have the foggiest notion what these rituals were. So unless, you know, they knew all these things from occultism, they're just probably partaking as part of what you're supposed to do when you go.
Interesting. Okay, so, you know, shifting gears for a moment, getting off the pictures and into your book, I know that you have a statement here that says, let's appease the women. The Eastern Star literally was started to appease the women because of the women griping about the men going off to Masonic meetings and they weren't involved? That's what this was all about?
Yes, it was. See, we're told that the history of the Eastern Star was really shrouded in mystery, and it seems as though there's a French origin to the degree. But Dr. Rob Morris is really the one credited with this, and the date given is 1850. And, of course, what he said that, you know, he realized because Masonry is such a secret society, many of the women really did feel like they were being left out, because when their husbands went to lodge, the money was going for the regalia, for the jewels, for their dues, and all this. And when they came home, what did you do at lodge? Well, I can't talk about it. And the women are, what? You can't talk about what you did tonight? You know, and they're saying, what's going on? So this secrecy was really causing this antagonism. And Rob Morris said, hey, you know, we can fix this. He said, if we get this society for the women, we'll sort of placate or pacify them. We also have good cooks that can help with our meals. You know, and he really started the Eastern Star as a way to further the cause of Masonry, but also to placate the women. It was a double purpose there. And I think it's interesting because when the woman is joining the Eastern Star and at her initiation, they were told this at one time. I'll give a quote here. We meet and welcome you for a double purpose. First, that we may inform you as to your true relationship to the Masonic fraternity and thus remove any prejudices you may have entertained against us. It must be plain enough to every wife and daughter and sister of a Mason that there is something in Masonry known only to the brethren, which is very delightful and precious to them.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
We've
got to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be back in three. We've got a log segment coming up. Dr. Kathy Burns and Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Of the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Dr. Kathy Burns, and we're talking about her book, Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. And this is a long segment, so we got some time to talk here, Kathy. We were talking about the double, the men bring the women in there with a double meeting, and they tell the women when they come in that there still are secrets that they are not exposed to. Is that correct?
Well, I'll finish part of that quote I was given with the address there. He says, it must be plain enough to every wife and daughter and sister of a Mason that there is something in Masonry known only to the brethren, which is very delightful and precious to them. This oftentimes provokes the question of what use is Masonry to the ladies, as it separates man and wife to some extent by giving the man certain secrets and duties which the wife cannot share. The ladies sometimes take umbrage against Masonry and even become its enemies, and oppose it violently as something contrary to the laws of God and man. A little knowledge, however, of the real nature and purposes of Masonry will remove all of this if there is any of it existing in the mind of any lady present. But now it is necessary that we should show you why ladies, too, should love Masonry and should be, as many of them are, as warm as friends and defenders. That was the end of the quote, and this, again, is what's given at the Eastern Star Initiation. So they are admitting it themselves. You know, there is a secrecy, and we're doing this for basically a double purpose. And I also want to return to what you were saying with your parents there with the dress-up. What they were going through could possibly be just for their lodge alone, as I've never seen it in the initiation. I don't think it's actual part of the initiation. And, you know, some other, those like from the Eastern Star could easily say, oh, well, we never do that lodge. And that's very possible. That may be just something that they have done on their own, and it might not be, you know, like across the United States or anything.
I see. So the men, let me ask you this. The men in the Masonic movement, if you will, I mean, they could come from the Knights of Columbus. They could come from the Scottish Rite. They could come from the, you know, Orders of Templar or whatever it is. I mean, does it matter what specific order of Masonry they belong to? I mean, is the Eastern Star just one for the women that encompasses all of that, or is it specific factions of Masonry?
Well, the Knights of Columbus is Catholic. Now, if a Knights of Columbus man becomes a Mason, he can join the Eastern Star, but he could not join if he were just a Knights of Columbus person. He would be barred from that. If he came from other parts of Masonry, he would have to actually be he'd have to be at least a third-degree Mason, Master Mason, which would be what happens is in American Masonry and usually around the world as well, they have the first 3 degrees before a person is really, really considered to be a Mason. They say if you only have first or second degree, you can't even have Masonic burial because you're not considered to be a Mason until that 3rd degree. Then after that, from the 4th degree up, there are 2 branches. There's the Scottish Rite branch that goes up to the 32nd degree, and then there's the York Rite, which is supposedly Christian, but it's far from Christian. But it would have to definitely be a Mason. If they go higher from either the Scottish or the York Rite, that would be fine. But, you know, they'd have to be a Mason. It wouldn't be like a Knights of Columbus or anyone like that, unless they belong to a Masonic order.
Now, going back to this initiation speech for a moment, I mean, the consensus that I got from that is it was basically well-crafted words to appease the woman to tell them all without really telling them anything. And
exactly.
To allow them to go along with it, even though they really didn't know what they were in it for.
That's right. And see, like, if they would go and their husbands would go with them, they're out together for a night. And they still don't know what goes on in the Masonic Lodge, but they have a very slight idea. You know, they don't realize that these blood oaths have been taken. They don't realize a lot of the other things. But they feel like they've been taken in and that they're part of whatever their husband belongs to.
Okay. Now, I have another question, and you may or may not know the answer. And forgive me if I'm answering or if I'm asking you questions that, you know, that don't directly address what your expertise is. I'm just trying to get some answers for my own peace. Now, is there such a thing as an oath taken or an honor, an unspoken honor in Masonry of not touching the other man's wife?
Well, there isn't. Yes and no. What it says in there, I don't have the exact quote right in front of me, but the thing is they basically say in there that they will not violate another, like if it's, say, for the 3rd degree, the Master Mason's wife. They did not, a wife or daughter, they did not say you could not violate another man's wife or daughter. You're supposed to only do it of the degree you're partaking of. That is in the oath, but it's still a very open-ended oath of sorts because you're free to violate anybody else.
Okay, so is this to say that, let's say, a fifth level Mason could violate the, the sacred marriage vows of a third level Mason?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, that would make sense then, because the reason I asked you the question is because my mother and father were married for 32 years, and they had some best friends. I mean, it was a couple that they were, you know, they used to hang out with all the time, and the woman got cancer. She passed away of cancer, and her husband literally moved in and took my mother away from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman, I'm sure, was a higher level of Mason. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, and it's very vague because I was young, but I think this is the gentleman that talked them into joining the lodge to begin with. So it's complex. At any rate, aside from that, I wanted to ask you, in your book, you talk about the Kabbalah, okay, and it's used for conjuring Lucifer. Now, the lower levels of Masons or the women in Masonry really don't know anything about this?
Well, probably not, for the simple fact, like I said before, you really have to be almost steeped in occultism or witchcraft to even know what some of these things, you know, really mean. Like when they're mentioned, see, there's a Kabbalistic model in the Eastern Star. But, well, what is it? Okay, fine, but what's the Kabbalah? And again, most women would never know this. But according to one occult magazine, we find that the Kabbalah forms much of the inner foundations upon which astrology, tarot, alchemy, numerology, mythology, and ceremonial magic are based. We find there's reincarnation and magical words of power and signs and the power of omelets and divination and conjurations and all this involved in the Kabbalah. Well, if the average person, especially those who profess to be a Christian here in America, would know this, they'd say, well, we don't want to be involved. But they'll probably say in the first place, if you'd ask an Eastern Star member, what's the Kabbalistic model, they'd probably, well, they'd rattle off the model, but you'd ask them what the Kabbalah is, and they'd probably say, I have no idea. What is it? And a lot would say, oh, well, it wouldn't have to do with the occultism. But there's an Eastern Star book written by Marianne Slipper, and this is what she says. I'll give her a quote. Kabbalistic is related to occultism, the science of the secrets of nature. Kabbalah was the secret system of the Jewish rabbis to interpret the hidden meaning of the Pentateuch. We use the word to cover our hidden meanings and secrets. To the uninitiated, the Kabbalah would seem to be full of meaningless jargon, but this is a necessity to conceal the secrets from the profane, unquote. Of course, the profane would be those outside of the Eastern Star or Masonry. So the model then, what each Eastern Star woman is told, their model is fairest among thousands, altogether lovely. And, of course, that sounds scriptural enough, but it is a title that's been applied to Christ. So actually, by taking this title upon themselves, they're taking something that really belongs to Christ. But not only that, what the Eastern Star does, they take this Kabbalistic word, and they'll take the first letters of that fairest among thousands, altogether lovely, and come up with fatal. F-A-T-A-L. Now, then they're told this. They said, well, if this word is to remind them that it would be fatal to the character of any lady if she would divulge any of the Eastern Star secrets. So it's almost like a character assassination or a veiled threat of sorts. You cannot reveal this because it would be fatal to your character. And then one day I was looking over this when I was writing the book, and I decided to do it because I knew it was based on the occult. I tried to do it how the occultists would do it and add it up numerically, and I found that it came out to the number 13. And I thought that was awfully interesting, too, because in most tarot card decks, the number 13 is either the death or the skeleton reaper card, and, of course, that would be deadly or fatal. So, you know, they're not taking the blood oath that the Masons take, but there are veiled threats there for secrecy, and that it could be fatal, at least to the character, if not to the body, if they divulge the secrets. But this is what the Kabbalistic model is, and again, that's based on occultism. But do the women know? Probably 95% of them have no idea.
Well, tell me this. As far as the women are concerned, there's only a certain level that they can attain just by virtue of the fact that they're women, right? So obviously a lot of this is shrouded in secrecy, and they do their spin on it to make it sound good, even though it's not. Am I far off there?
No, that's right. And like I say, the women really, unless they're really steeped in occultism, they just go, because see, the women are told these are Bible women. We use the names Ada, Ruth, Esther, Martha, Arimi. They said they use Electa for, they take that out of the elect lady in the Bible verse there in 2 John. But they're saying, see, we go there, we actually read scripture at least one time. I don't know if it's still done today, but they used to mention the word Christ. They'd even sing hymns. And the women go, and they think this is a religious organization. But what the women do not know is if you go back to the original parts of this, those original names were not Bible names. They were names of goddesses like Flora and Luna, Hebe, Thetis, and Arene. And they didn't know that these Bible characters that they're impersonating have the occult connotation. I know we talked to one here in our town, and the woman, well, this is a Bible. They're religious. They have a Bible open. We portray Esther and Martha. You know, in the women's mind, they think they're doing something really righteous and holy.
They're preying on their naivety.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Now, as I perused through there, I was noticing that there are certain symbols used in this. Well, for example, there is no religion higher than truth, and then they have basically what it is a Star of David with a depiction of a swastika on the top of it. And this goes back; these symbols go back into ancient times. These have been around for a long, long time, and they have been used throughout history. In the Masonic orders, all the way up to some of the buildings that were built, you know, upon the founding of this country, that with certain layouts, geographic layouts in Washington, D.C., and so forth. So these have been weaved in sort of a tapestry all throughout history in these secret societies. And from what I'm taking on this, yes, again, the Eastern Star was nothing more than something. You said it was a brainchild in 1850, is that when it came into existence?
Yes.
Okay. And so it was a brainchild of, and I forgot the fellow's name, but it was a brainchild of this fellow simply to appease the women because they obviously were getting very aggravated with these men going off and spending all, you know, their time and, you know, fraternizing in these secret meetings and so forth. So they brought them in and explained to him without explaining to him exactly what was going on, so they would naively walk in there, participate, cook their meals and so forth, and you know, sing their hymns thinking that it was religious when it was not. That's fascinating.
Exact.
And I'm doing this, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm sorry, I'm doing this basically more for my own appeasement of trying to figure out exactly where my parents were coming from, you know. Because I didn't visualize as a child that my father would be any high level of Mason, and I certainly didn't visualize my mother as participating in anything that would be occultic, you know.
Well, this
so,
was it. We've had family members. My great-grandmother was in. I mean, she was a church person. She was a very, very good-living, moral person. I didn't know her real, real well. I mean, she died, obviously. I mean, as a great-grandmother, you know, there's quite a distance in age between us. But I knew she had belonged, and I always heard, you know, I think her gown might have been the white one, which would have probably been Esther. And, I mean, we never discussed this. I was much too little to discuss this. But, I mean, to partake of the occult, not my great-grandmother. I mean, not knowingly. And this is what I'm saying. There's many good women in here. And even with the Masons, like I said, they go in it for the usually business opportunities or because the pastor belongs to it or the banker or the lawyer. They see these professionals in there, and it's, to them, it's just a way of getting more business. They don't realize what they are actually symbolizing. So even for a Mason on a whole, and even a 32nd-degree Mason, you say, oh, they're high up. Well, yes and no, because if they can get this in 1 and 2 weekends after the first 3 degrees, how much do they really know? They don't. You know, enough to read their literature. If they'd go to the lodge library and start pulling off some books off the recommended reading shelves, like most of your Masonic lodges have the recommended reading, and on several of those lists is a book called The Lost Keys of Masonry. If they'd open that book up and they'd see about the seething energies of Lucifer in the Mason's hand, they might start to realize what they're in is not what they thought they were in. But if you'd ask them, you know, do you worship Lucifer? And you're like, oh, no. We have the big G there, and it stands for the great architect. That's God, as you've wanted to name him, whether it be Allah, Buddha, you know, Jehovah, whatever. It's your name of God, God as you understand him. But they would never look at this as worshiping Satan or Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing is fascinating. And I wanted to ask you real quick before we go to break, and then we have a short segment coming up. What about fraternities and sororities and so forth? Are these kind of another idea that is an indoctrination eventually into the Eastern Star or Masonry? Do you know?
Usually into Masonry. Most all of those organizations, perhaps all of them, have been founded by Masons. So there's usually some slight Masonic element in all of them. Most all of them at least have a little bit of secrecy there, which, again, would be some of your Masonry. And it's also like your sororities and all. I mean, it's getting the students ready to join a group such as the Masons when they leave college. It's a feeding ground of sorts to try to draw them in, because they'll say, well, we did this in college. I mean, this isn't a whole lot different. It might be a little different, but, you know, we had our little passwords and secrets and little keys or whatever for this, and they don't realize, again, that the group they had belonged to was most likely Masonic-oriented to start with because they were founded by Masons.
Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stick with me, Dr. Burns.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com, or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com, or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Come a little bit closer, hear what
Michael Herzog. We're back in the American Awakening, live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Dr. Kathy Burns. And, Kathy, before we depart here, I want you to give out that number again, number one, if you would, for the listeners. And I want to read these off so they'll know one more time. I did this at the first part of the show. She has written books, A One World Order is Coming, Billy Graham and His Friends, Mormonism, Masonry, and Godhood, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, Tongues, Prosperity, and Godhood, Secure in Christ, Pathway to Peace, A Scriptural View of Hell, and Alcoholics Anonymous Unmasked. And I have to tell you, in reading this, Kathy, I would love nothing more than to have you up on my show again to talk about more of these books at some future date. Would that be possible?
That'll be fine.
Thank you. Give out your number again so people can call and order your book.
Okay, the number to call would be 1-800-451-8211. And they do carry 10 of those books you mentioned.
They carry 10 of the books?
10 of the 11, yes.
And this book can also be found, The Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star, can also be found on Amazon.com, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, very good. I appreciate you so much coming on. I'm sorry, you know, an hour is really not enough time to cover all the topics. And with what you have in the books that you've written, I mean, I could probably make a series out of this. But I want to thank you so much for at least answering some of the questions that I had about my parents and hopefully a lot of the listeners out there, because I know that this is far and wide. You know, we've got the conditioning that comes along with the fraternities and sororities. They get into the Masonry. They get into the Eastern Star. And I know you'll agree that this is kind of an octopus with tentacles, and they really don't know what they're getting into.
That's right. And most families, in fact, I don't know if I've ever met any family that has not had at least a Masonic or an Eastern Star relative in it. Whenever you get on the topic, they always say, oh, my brother, my uncle, my grandfather. You know, so this really touches just about every family in America.
So it's something that we need to make people aware of so they know. And the people that are in there, had I known, of course, I was young at the time, Kathy. You know, I was in my pre-adolescent stage and all the way up through my teens. I was young, and I really paid no attention to it. You know, had I known at the time, I may very well have, well, not may have, I would have brought it up. But, of course, when you do, then they immediately defend their position and most likely would attack you anyway.
Yes, and most likely they would not have known themselves. They just say, oh, that's some hearsay. You just heard that from a wrong source, because we actually don't believe that. You know, like I said, they mentioned that we have all these Bible women. They don't realize, and I do actually show pictures of over 100 illustrations in this book, and I actually show the original names of those names, that they were not Bible women, but goddesses' names. But the average person in the Eastern Star has no idea this. So sometimes they're defending their position, but sometimes they honestly really do believe they belong to a good organization. They're not always lying to you when they say we're doing good, because in their minds they really think they are.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. As I perused through this book and I ran across some of the names, of course, you actually have to go in and delve into ancient history, which I have done to a degree. You know, Horus, Osiris, and some of these names, these goddesses and gods that are in there. But at any rate, we've got to go. Okay, I thank you so much again for coming on. We're coming up on a break to the top of the hour here, but Kathy, I want to thank you again for coming on my show.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, second hour coming up, folks. The American Awakening, Michael Herzog in Phoenix, Arizona. Second hour coming up with none other than Sherry Jackson, Freedom to Fascism. Stick with me. We will have her on at the top of the hour, and I will open up the phone lines. We will also have Art Pollock up, who is starting a fundraiser for her defense fund. So stick with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes this time.
I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, because I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. With